Hello and welcome to this exciting World Cup finishing episode of Two Substitutes. I'm joined once again by multiple team supporter Akshay. Welcome back, Akshay.
Hello, Varun. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
So one of your teams that you supported won the World Cup. What a big surprise.
Yes, one of some few teams that I support.
Yeah. How many teams? 31 teams.
31? No. Don't span across that many teams. Maybe around 6 teams.
Okay. So, yeah, this podcast will be about the World Cup overall and the final, of course. And we'll give our opinions as to who the best player was. Underdogs, criticize some of the things, events that happened during the tournament, and maybe towards the end we can discuss the coming season in Premier League. So let's get it started. World Cup final, France-Croatia, very exciting game to watch.
Yeah, very. I was surprised to see a final that entertaining.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable game to watch, and I think everyone would have loved the game.
Yeah. Croatia, having played so many minutes before the final, we were not expecting them to be so energetic in the final, but of course it's a World Cup final, so maybe the adrenaline. Adrenaline, I cannot speak that word.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, that word. pushed them through. So, and they were going toe-to-toe with France and could have easily won the game as well.
Right, they started off the game very strongly in like first 20 minutes of the game. I think Croatia was having much better energy and they were pressing France high up the field, and France also, surprisingly, they were allowing them to play or have the ball.
Yeah.
And they were just waiting for Croatia, or like they were happy to just sit back and let Croatia have the position. But you could see the difference in energy in the first few, like 20 minutes. I think Croatia suddenly came off all guns blazing, you can say. Like they were trying to press them high up the pitch and get the ball back and try to do an attack. But unfortunately, they couldn't score the first goal of that game in those early minutes that they were dominating the game.
As you said, the unfortunate own goal at the start, really, one thing I would credit them for was that they could have gone down conceding that goal, but they never stopped trying. Yeah. They came back and Perisic scored a really good goal. But coming back to the first goal, do you think that was a dive from Griezmann, or he did go down easily?
He did go down easily. I don't think it was a dive, but I don't think it was worthy of a foul in that area.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they got the goal off that play,
it makes it even more sad.
It happened that way.
And I read that you could not have gone to VAR for that particular incident. I still have to read what incidents you can go to VAR for and what are not eligible for that. And that one was not clearly. I guess, there has to be some guidelines as to where you can
reviewing stuff.
Because I agree with some people that say, I mean, if you implement VAR in every situation, then the game would really slow down. That would not be good, I think.
Right, but at least it's cutting down on a lot of other.
Yeah, overall, I'm happy with VAR. Yeah.
In this particular play, I think Croatia will feel really sad that it was given against them.
And yeah.
Unfortunately for them, they scored through an own goal. Mandzukic, who had scored the winner in their semifinals,
He
was on the receiving end this time and scored the goal against their country.
And did, even if that was a dive, I mean, they have the players to defend against that free kick.
Yeah.
It was a well-delivered free kick from Griezmann, and their luck of the draw had Mandzukic pushed the ball into his own net.
Yeah.
Or had the ball. So that was the first goal, and Perisic came back 10 minutes later in the 20th minute. He scored a really good goal.
He had
the composure to move the ball onto his left foot, the strong foot, and shoot it past Lloris.
Yeah, that was a very good goal. I think the first touch made the goal
yeah.
look really nice. And also the fact, I mean, to execute that at that high speed.
Yeah.
And also he was doing that against Kante, who is the one of the best holding midfielder in the world right now. So to do that against him was certainly like admirable. And I think it was very nice goal.
Yeah, I read Kante didn't... we could see Kante didn't have a good game yesterday, but I read that he had a stomach bug from yesterday that he was still suffering from. And that's why the Shams brought in Nzonzi as well. And I believe maybe if he had been fit, because we discussed this before also, he's the one player in Chelsea team or usually you would think always gives his 8 out of 10 performance. So he could have been one of the contenders for player of the tournament if he was fit enough. But yeah, coming back to Croatia, they pulled one they drew, and then Griezmann then got the penalty 10 minutes later again.
Yeah, even that one, some people are saying that it was controversial. The penalty call, I think it was the right call to give the penalty. He shouldn't be having his hand in that position. And although you could argue that it was too close to his body, like he couldn't have done anything, it wasn't deliberate, all of that was true, but same if you look at the hand position, positioning from him, it wasn't a normal positioning.
My opinion also changed because I think the more replays I watch, the more I agree with the decision. But the first time you see it, which is how I think the player Perisic also felt. If you are watching it for the first time and the reaction time is so less, I don't think he could have avoided it. But obviously, we have the luxury of the replay to watch it again and again. And then obviously, it looks bad because they were focusing on his hand, zoomed in.
Yeah, if you see, there's a clear contact of his hand.
Yeah.
But it wasn't deliberate. So if you go by the rules and saying like, okay, if it's a deliberate handball in the box, then it's a penalty, then don't think you can give it against him.
And it's so hard to get the deliberate because players are also really clever now.
Right.
Because some players might be really bad at, even if they are right, their face might look like they had made a mistake or something and they would get a penalty, which would be wrong. And then some people are really good at hiding it. And
that subjective matter comes into play. Even you can look at the replay and by that image, you can definitely see that it was a handball.
Yeah.
But the context behind that was will be different for different people, can read that situation differently.
Because I remember the Gerard Piqué incident. To me, it looked like maybe for a few people, it looked like it was not deliberate, but in his face, I could see it was written that he intended to handle the ball there.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's always, and so I guess no matter what technology we bring in, these decisions will always cause controversies and discussions. But I did read Infantino was saying that VAR increased the accuracy of decisions from 95% to 99%.
Wow. Nice.
Which is still not 100, but it's still better than what they had before.
Yeah,
so.
It's definitely much, much better than before.
Yeah. Yeah, not much, much better, but I would not...
I would say much better just because so many decisions in this
World
Cup...
Much better?
Yeah, you could say maybe 10 times, right?
10 times?
More than 10 times VAR had come into play and made the right decision.
No, VAR came in to make the right decision, but you should also see... I'm saying referees already made that decision right, but they consulted VAR and that VAR agreed with them. So I'm saying that. Hmm. So referees decision was correct, but VAR has improved the accuracy of the other 5% that I was saying to make it 99%. So yeah, overall it has had a good effect. Maybe I don't know if next season VAR would be in the Premier League.
No, they not yet, are not right? doing it. No.
Okay, so Griezmann then got the penalty which he converted, and then the third goal, then France took over. I guess a little bit. Croatia were looking slightly tired, not closing down Paul Pogba for that goal because he had the first shot got blocked and then he got another chance to score.
Yeah, that wasn't a good defending in from Croatia's part.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you give that much time on the ball to Paul Pogba, he just curled it in.
And he had a good tournament, unlike his Manchester United days. Last season, Paul Pogba has been working hard for the team. Oh, the whole of France team, like we discussed.
Yeah, to me, it looked podcast. Like Pogba at Juventus, or like, you know, people would expect that from him, the way he played in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not done that for Manchester United.
And also working hard, which he didn't do at Juventus as well, but he did do at France and definitely didn't do at Manchester United. But yeah, they gave him lots of space there to shoot twice, not just once.
Yeah.
And then another goal was scored by the young player of the tournament, Mbappe. Cool, calm finish.
Yeah.
From outside the box. So I was reading actually Paul Pogba was only the third or first French player or... I don't know what the stat was like to score a goal from outside the box, and then immediately after Mbappe also made it the two players scoring from outside the box. So what did you think of Mbappe's tournament as a whole?
I think he's been the player of the tournament to me, and the way, considering that he's only 19, now I think you can call him as one of the best players in the world.
Yeah,
I think you can also go a little bit further than that and say the best player in the world right now. Just because the way he played in the World Cup, you know, that's the biggest stage that you can play at. And
so, yeah, he's the second teenager to score in the World Cup final after Pelé.
Yeah.
That's definitely something. Well, he's still 19 years old, which is also... I would not put him as best player in the world. I would think Messi, Ronaldo are still up there. Also, best player is subjective.
Yeah.
And you cannot really compare eras.
Right.
I mean, go back
right
to
now
my,
I'm saying this.
Yeah, like, current... Like era. In this tournament, he was the best attacking player. Yeah. In the pace, the majority he shows, even at 19 years, is something... to watch, and he has the skill as well.
Yeah, pace, so the confidence to pull it off in that stage. You know, remember like the one situation where he was flagged offside, but he did that trick still to get past their defender.
Mm-hmm.
And that was still really nice to watch, just to like do that.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just does it. It makes it look simple. Like, you know, if you watch the game, and the great players are those who... make it look really simple, the way they play. And it's just like direct running and a clinical finishing. It's really nice to see.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see him as a player, although like we don't watch that much of League One, but we should maybe try to...
Yeah, because of World Cup, last World Cup also, I think because of Rodriguez's exploit, I watched more of La Liga, or watched more of him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of this tournament, I'll watch League One more than what I used to watch.
Yeah.
So that was the fourth goal, and then Lloris decided to also have fun in the final by trying a little too hard.
Yeah, credit to Mandzukic for that goal.
Yeah.
Because at 4-1, when France were leading 4-1, you think like they are done now.
Yeah.
But still, they were going after every second ball and trying to intercept. So that goal from Mandzukic just shows that how hard they were trying still.
Yeah.
And Lloris made the mistake, or maybe like he thought that he could skip past him, just touch away from him.
He was trying to nutmeg him or something, I don't know.
Yes, and he was trying something that didn't work out, and it just went in the back of the net. And that gave Croatia some hope for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But France, as you say, like they've been very professional in this tournament, and they needed what they had. They did what they had to do in that situation, where just to get the control of the game and not allowing Croatia to score any more goals.
Yeah, Lloris is a good keeper, but he has made these type of mistakes a lot more than one maybe Spurs fan would care to admit, some Spurs fans. But even in the Premier League, we see him sometimes losing concentration or something. I don't know what happens
even
to him.
Even for France, he made one mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
We were watching and laughing at it. So
yeah,
he's prone to errors sometimes. Maybe just a lack of concentration. Maybe he wasn't seeing too many shots from Croatia and decided to try something out.
Yeah.
But yeah, France, it didn't backfire for them. Croatia couldn't score after that.
Croatia didn't score, yeah. So it was still a very good game to watch. There was some pitch invasion also happened in the middle of the game.
Yeah, that was very sad to see. I don't know why people would do it, because the game was so interesting and everyone was focused on the game and having these invaders.
I enjoyed that also, actually. Yeah. It's just fun. As long as it doesn't cause, harm to anyone. I just read that it was some group called Pussy Riot or something.
Okay.
They are a band or something, or some, they had a performance going on, so they planned that in, so it was all planned.
I see.
So anyways, that happened. The final went by peacefully. There was some thunderstorms that were threatening to maybe postpone the game or something, but they only came after the game was over, and then everyone was soaked in the celebrations. With both champagne or alcoholic drinks, and as well as the rain, people were sliding all over. Croatia. So, in terms of the awards, let's do the award ceremony. FIFA, by the way, gave the player of the tournament to Luka Modric, and young player to Kylian Mbappe, as we said, and Golden Glove went to Courtois. You cannot really argue with that. The stats,
yeah.
He got the most clean sheets, and what else?
Harry Kane got the Golden Boot.
Golden Boot, yeah, which is good for him.
Yeah, with the awards, I think you would agree with everything. You could say Mbappe was also the player of the tournament, but he got the young player of the tournament.
Yeah.
He got some recognition, and Modric needed some recognition as well, because he actually carried the team to the final. And in the last podcast, we were discussing how he's leading the team, and he has had very consistent World Cup, and it just emphasized on his qualities that people already knew before.
Yeah.
On what he can do.
Yeah, I mean, Mbappe could have easily won the player of the tournament as well, but I guess if he wins young player, maybe they decided to give it to someone else. You should be able to, though, if you're that good. And I genuinely feel, if I don't think they would have given it to him, but if Kante was fit for this game or had a good final as well, he should have been one of the main contenders to win the player of the tournament. Not many defensive-minded people win this award. The last one I remember in the World Cup was Cannavaro.
Cannavaro, yeah.
Yeah, he won. So, that's that. What do you have any other stats or something? I read So, one of the stats was Didier Deschamps winning the World Cup, both as a player and a coach. He becomes the third man to do so. After this Brazilian player, Mario Zagallo, and Germany's Beckenbauer. So pretty impressive for him. Do you have anything quiz time?
Not really. Not for stats perspective. You
failed the class.
Croatia, the smallest nation to play in a World Cup final after Uruguay. Well, that's it.
F plus grade for you. Yeah, I was reading France. The celebrations went on all night long, which is understandable. And
they also stormed into his press conference. That was
the
nice
players.
Yeah,
that was just like when Conte won the Premier League, Costa and everyone just took him out of the and sprayed champagne all over him. Oh, what else? The World Cup itself was a pretty good, one of the most entertaining World Cups.
Yeah, there were lots of the last minute goals or last minute drama, and set the piece stage goals was really interesting.
Well, the set piece set piece is one of the big things of this World Cup.
Set piece VAR, obviously. Goal, I think this 90s will be remembered for that.
And stoppage time goals.
Yeah.
Extra time for Croatia specifically. What were some of the memories for you?
For the World Cup, I think I would certainly remember review for sure, because this was the first time VAR was used in a World Cup. And just dramatic games where so many goals were scored towards the end, and we saw so much of drama at the end.
Let's say if you want to say one thing.
I think Mbappe's goal against Argentina, where he just ran across the field and scored, and that's when I thought it's like he's the real deal. Or like, you know, before he was known to be a very nice player, but I've never seen him playing the full game and see how he plays. So okay. I saw him for the first time and was really impressed by that.
Nice. I think mine, this just jumps out in my head, was the Lukaku dummy for in the Belgium versus Japan game.
Yeah, even that game was really nice where Belgium scored in the late extra time to win the game and seal their spot in the semifinals.
Yeah. Surprises. Croatia obviously reaching the final.
Of course,
was a surprise.
But they had a good squad, like we were saying, like, you know, they have one of the best squads.
But that we were saying that after they won the group stage games, I think none of us expected them to reach the final, even the semi-final, I think. Because they won so convincingly against Argentina, I think most people started noticing their midfield specifically.
Yeah.
But before that, I don't think people were expecting them to do what they did.
What? So many like big teams getting knocked out, like Spain.
Yeah, Germany, South Korea game
Argentina,
was.
Portugal. So very early on in the tournament.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to see as well. Where other side of the draw was like kind of an easier one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was also somewhat maybe less interesting part of the World Cup, because the one side of the draw ended up being too heavy.
Yeah, and then like I think we spoke about it in the podcast before, that whoever comes from that tough side of the draw will win the World Cup, just because the games that they would have had coming into the final, they were much more intense than the other team would have faced.
Right.
And it certainly like made it less interesting towards the end of the tournament, just because it was so one-sided.
Yeah.
The draws, and for quarterfinals, like, or even knockout games, you were only hoping to watch the games from the other end of the draw.
Yeah. So, and what else what else happened in the World Cup? We have to wait another 4 years now, so milk everything you can. Squeeze everything out of this World Cup.
Yeah.
Russia were a good host.
Russia played really nice, I would.
Yeah, they were also surprised.
Their run was nice to knock out Spain.
Yeah.
And to reach quarterfinals, right? So
they lost to... Who did they lose to?
Croatia.
Yeah, that was also a tough game because that went to extra time. They could have won.
Yeah.
Akinfeev maybe redeemed himself a little bit because of his past record. He is infamous for not keeping clean sheets, but he did save some important penalties for them.
Mm-hmm.
Who was you think Courtois? Yeah, I think I agree with that. He was the best goalkeeper in this tournament. Maybe Pickford could be close behind.
I would give it to Courtois because he was the one amongst all those good. I mean, Lloris had a good tournament as well, but just the final blunder that he made.
And he made that a few other times also in games.
Yeah, so I wouldn't give him. I think Courtois is the right choice. He had a game of his life, very nice game against Brazil. And he kept the Belgian hopes alive because of that.
Okay, let's do off the top of our head, team of the tournament.
team of the tournament for like all the positions.
Yes. So okay. We'll obviously miss many players, but this
yeah,
is
from
off the
what
top.
You have seen or whatever.
Yeah. So we'll go with what's the most common formation that has been in the 4-4-2 Oh, let's go with traditional 4-4-2
Yeah.
Okay. So goalkeeper Courtois obviously.
Yep.
And then
no,
let's do left back.
Mm-hmm.
So, who was the left back that caught your eye? There's Lucas Hernandez from France.
Yeah, he gave a nice assist for yesterday's.
Yeah. There's Marcelo.
Marcelo, he didn't have that good of a tournament to, like.
Yeah.
Kolarov scored a good free kick.
Belgium don't really play with
position.
The left back.
Yeah, and Belgium was playing with three centre backs.
England
was also playing with the wing.
Ashley Young did have good games though before the France game, I think. No, not France. Croatia. So I guess
I think you'll have to give it to Lucas Hernandez then for France.
I don't know if that's
he had a good assist and
yeah.
They won the tournament, and we can't think of any other left back had a good game, or not that I remember.
Okay, we can come back to left back. That's the only name I remember because France reached the final.
Yeah.
But okay, right back Trippier. I would go give it to Trippier. I think.
Okay.
There's Pavard. So let's
Pavard,
go through the options. Pavard.
Yeah, I'll go with Pavard just
Trippier.
Because they won the World Cup and he scored a really nice goal and he was.
Oh, that goal was really good. Yeah. But,
yeah.
But I think in terms of consistency and maybe just shining more in your team. Trippier was one of the players in England who shined the most out of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I would keep him as a right back. So the two centre backs, it's hard to look past two French players.
Yeah. And also like I have like full France defence, so that also gives them good chemistry or play with nice chemistry.
They're not playing ultimate team.
They're not
this is just
team
of the
but
tournament.
But it's like they'll have a very nice back four. A World Cup winning back four pretty much.
So, Umtiti and Varane.
Umtiti and Varane, yes. Varane had a very nice tournament. Both of them were really solid.
Yeah. So, you have...
And other shout-outs, at least, like you can say who else you could consider in the conversation.
But let's go through this. So, I think I'll also give Lucas Hernandez at left back. Trippier right back. You have Pavard as the
right back.
Back.
Yeah.
And then the two centre backs, I would also keep Umtiti and...
Varane. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, we can give shout-outs to other players.
I think Granqvist from Sweden.
Yeah.
He scored some decisive penalties for them. And also, they were grinding out results like they would come up with.
And some points, he went even midfield or striker as well for Sweden to get goals. The manager put him there.
And this guy.
Vrsaljko from Croatia, right back.
Yeah,
maybe he could be the substitute right back.
Right. Who is from England centre back? Is Harry Maguire.
He should be in the substitute.
So he should be.
Okay, write it down actually. I want to write this down.
Okay.
Or you can make notes there.
Okay.
So, let me get my pen and paper.
Okay, go the traditional way.
Is the best. So we went for 4-4-2.
Yeah, I wish we could put a nice visuals on this.
We could use the
squad builder.
Yeah. Harry Maguire. Okay, let's do the first team first and then we can do the substitutes. So we went with Lucas Hernandez, Varane, Umtiti. We have to decide between Pavard and Trippier. My reason was
standing out in the team.
Yeah,
he also did score a nice free kick for
free
England.
Kick, yeah, that was the only goal they got in that game. Also, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So
All right, I'm happy with Trippier then.
Okay, so what was the
Pavard? Yeah.
We can see if he fits our bench. Okay, the four midfielders. Then the starting with left, I would give Hazard.
I will give it to. Yeah, it's really hard. I was giving it to Perisic. Hazard also had a really nice World Cup.
Because Perisic didn't play every game also for Croatia. He came on as a substitute in few games as well. So, and Hazard, even when Belgium didn't play well, Hazard was the only player who played for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my reasoning for putting him.
Okay. Put Perisic on the bench then. But okay. Yeah, he also had a really good tournament. The goal in the finals was...
And he won the game in the semifinals for them, right?
Yeah.
That was Mandzukic, but Perisic also scored.
Perisic also scored in that game, and he came up with big goals for them.
Yeah.
And just overall, his work rate was really, really nice. Like, Croatia needed that to play 120 minutes, three games consecutively on the wings takes a toll. And
what were some of our other options? Think this just stands, these two stand
yeah, I think
out.
Those two, so, like, stand out head and shoulders above all the other.
Okay.
Left midfielders or left wingers. Who else?
Are you for the left midfield?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to just think of every name. Neymar, no. Neymar didn't have a good tournament. That was one of the surprise for me.
Yeah.
And Argentina also being knocked out of the group stages. Who else plays in left? So for England, it's...
England wasn't playing with left mid, right?
They have 3-5-2. So, I mean, left wing back.
Yeah.
That was Ashley Young, right?
Yeah.
For France, it was Matuidi sometimes. These two,
I think these two.
Okay, and then center midfielder. There are the two center midfielders we have. Let's do the...
Yeah, I think I'll go with Modric and Kante, both of them in the finals, and really consistent tournament.
And the options, we have is De Bruyne.
Yeah, De Bruyne.
Kante, Modric.
I like Isco.
Isco,
But he played well whenever Spain played, so he was the best player for Spain.
Yeah, that's true.
The game,
but if they had reached... The later stages, like I was saying about Trippier also, he would be in the consideration, I think.
And Coutinho.
Coutinho, he was also sent out for Brazil whenever they needed goals.
Yeah.
He was the one who got them, provided the goals or scored them. Who was in center midfield for England? Trying to go think
for England, they had Henderson, Dele Alli, and Lingard. I don't think you can.
Lingard had the best game out of all three of them, but not enough to be in the
conversation.
Modric should definitely be there, I think. So Modric and Kante. Maybe if you want to be more creative, that's why the bench maybe can come in, but Kante definitely should be there in the.
Yeah, because he also. He was influential in their all the games apart from finals.
Yeah.
So we have Modric, and I think Kante can do all the dirty work, and Modric can be a little bit more creative.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever Modric was playing a little further up, he created chances for Croatia.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's do these two for now. De Bruyne can be in the bench. De Bruyne also had off
he
game.
He had one
That's
good
why
game, and but not like across the tournament. I don't think he was.
Yeah. So I don't think he might not even make the bench though. It could be really harsh, but that is.
Yeah, I think Rakitic, we should also mention Rakitic.
Rakitic.
He had a good tournament along with Modric in their center midfield.
Right midfield, I can only think of Mbappe.
Yeah, there is no other player. I mean, he's the best player of the tournament, arguably.
Yes.
And
for
other shout-outs, I think Willian, maybe. He had one good game, but he was like consistent, but they didn't have that much end for Brazil.
And the next game after that good game, he was not good in that. Yeah. Because he got substituted as well. Who was the right midfielder for Croatia?
For Croatia? I forgot.
Yeah.
They had Rebic.
So Rebic was left, right? Rebic was left.
No, I think Perisic was left and Rebic was right.
Oh. Who was the right midfielder for England?
England did not have midfielder, right? They had a wing back. And
yeah, I mean CM. Same right wing back.
Right wing also back. Wasn't that Trippier?
Oh, Trippier, yeah. So, and Belgium didn't... Yeah, I cannot think of anyone who really... Fellaini should be the...
should be the substitute. The best substitute of all time.
Goat. Yeah, I guess... yeah, Mbappe is the only option here. We'll think about the substitute later. And then the two strikers... I am conflicted, actually. Harry Kane finished top scorer, but he also didn't really have... he had more average games than good games, I right. think.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I don't think he deserves a place in the team of the tournament.
Griezmann should be the one.
Griezmann should be there, of course, because he was consistent throughout the tournament for France and also contributed with goals and assists.
Yeah. So Griezmann is one of the players. Who else could we have as a striker alongside
Lukaku? Lukaku had some also good games, like more than one good game.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of like Harry Kane, a little bit better than performance than Harry Kane.
Yeah, definitely better than Harry Kane.
But also,
performance-wise.
I think him. Lukaku and De Bruyne are in the same in terms of performance for me.
Yeah.
So I might put Lukaku also in the bench, but I'm just trying to think who else as a striker played very well. Mandzukic did score. He scored an own goal, but he also got important goals for them.
Yeah.
Who else? Can we put Perisic as a striker?
Oh, you're on a
cheating.
Have your Pep Guardiola hat on.
Yeah.
Fit in both Hazard and Perisic.
For the midfield, we didn't put Pogba also. He could be in the bench.
True.
I think he had a really good tournament. Let's see. I'm trying to think strikers. England. Sterling had good. He missed a lot of chances, but
he
was better than Harry Kane, I think.
Yeah, I think he was
performance wise
best attacking player in terms of like chance creator. Although the only thing he didn't do was to finish up.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's what you need though to be on the team.
Yeah, that's true. So, anyone from Russia, Cheryshev could be also in the bench.
Cheryshev has... I think Zuba also had a good tournament for Russia and was like the focal point of the attack.
Yeah. I think he was the guy who scored goals from midfield also.
Yeah, his goal was amazing. The one that he scored against Croatia.
Yeah.
One touch, curling effort.
Striker, come on.
So we covered Russia. Brazil didn't have good strikers.
Yeah, Jesus didn't have a good tournament.
Talked about England already. Spain also didn't have.
Let's talk about the quarterfinal teams. What teams were in the quarterfinal? Russia, Germany, Russia, France,
Croatia.
England, Croatia,
Brazil,
Belgium,
and. What other team? I'll have to look up the tournament schedule to find that out. I think it's really hard to remember all of the 8 teams.
Russia, France, Croatia, England, Brazil, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Belgium, 6.
So Uruguay, how did we forget Uruguay?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you could definitely like Suarez or Cavani.
I think Cavani, mostly. Let's put Cavani.
And
they missed him when
he wasn't there. Yeah, he didn't play in the quarterfinals, and Uruguay missed him a lot.
Oh, now that you speak of Uruguay, I think I know one other player who could be in the bench, Godin. Their defense also played really well.
Yeah.
So we have two defenders though in the
on the bench.
Yeah, right now. Let's put as many players as you want. In the World Cup, I've seen they have many players in substitute bench.
Players on the bench, right?
Okay, so. Yeah. So, Godin, Maguire. So, I think this is a pretty good team we have right now. I don't think... So, we have Cavani, Griezmann.
Yeah.
Hazard, Modric, Kante, Mbappe, Lucas Hernandez, Varane, Umtiti and Trippier.
Yeah.
And then in the bench, we have Perisic, Harry Maguire, Pogba, Cheryshev, Godin.
Yeah, that's sounds good. We have one
two,
striker on the
three,
bench.
3, 4, 5.
Three attacking players.
Wait, what striker? We don't have any striker. We
don't have striker, but I'm saying just attacking
players.
Yeah.
So, do you want to put De Bruyne also in there?
Or we can put Lukaku then in place of De Bruyne to have a striker on the bench.
To have that big presence.
Yeah, and to bring him on. If we need goals.
Yes.
So you can bring on like Perisic, Lukaku or Cheryshev if you need goals.
Attacking, creativity
have,
also.
Yeah,
Pogba.
Paul Pogba to be a holding player or play slightly attacking if you need more goals.
Yeah.
And have Harry Maguire and Godin to
some
cover
of the,
up the defense.
Players I remember like Quintero.
Who would be a bench goalkeeper though? You always have...
Bench goalkeeper. Before that, Quintero, I also remember he had good games.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, he was creative for Colombia.
Yeah. Backup goalkeeper, I think Pickford.
Yeah, Pickford.
For me. Yeah, I think this is a pretty good team.
Subasic also had a good tournament though. He won like two back-to-back penalty shootouts.
Yeah. Although it was also because Russia missed.
True.
One of the guy, the Brazilian born, he was unlucky to score.
Yeah,
the
Fernandez, Mario Fernandez, right?
Yeah. Brozovic had a good game in the midfield also.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to put it. But yeah, I think this team is pretty good.
Yeah, I think so. Should make a ultimate squad of this in the ultimate team and see how they play.
This is your homework.
Of what?
Make this squad in Squad Builder and put it on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yes. Then you can get B+ from F+ right now.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that for an upgrade.
Okay. Yeah. Upgrade in grades. I think that's all. The World Cup is done. Pretty good tournament. Really enjoyed it. Now we have to lay low for a month. And when the
I thought you were saying Hindi word like low. I was like, oh, low.
No, lay.
Yeah,
low.
We have to focus on the transfer rumors again now.
Yeah. So since the World Cup finished,
take a picture of this.
Yeah. We do. We got moving on to the transfer news quickly while you do this homework of yours.
Yeah, I can do that later.
Yeah, not now. Yeah. So, for the transfer, Chelsea confirmed finally after months of speculation the worst kept secret. Antonio Conte was let go, and then Sarri was announced as the manager, and you also got Jorginho with him for a £57 million deal. So, once again, the manager merry-go-round continues in this year for us, but Jorginho, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but he's a good player. I've seen the highlights for him from last season, and the fact that Man City and Pep Guardiola were also interested in him, and we got him from under their nose feels good.
Nice.
Yeah, I was not expecting that, but let's see what Sari brings in. I'm excited to see the Sari ball.
Yeah, I think he is an entertaining manager.
Yeah.
Under him, so hopefully we can see some quick attacking moves from Chelsea next season.
Yeah. Although he does have some controversies behind him as well, like I think he had been accused of homophobic chants towards Roberto Mancini, and then he said that was all in the spur of the moment, which is not a good excuse, but I hope he has learned from his mistakes. Conflicted about these, like what to think of players like this, mm-hmm. Or players or managers who have these past, because I don't think any manager has had just a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
But then people tend to forget about that and move on. There are a few examples. So I don't know how acceptable it is to move on. You have to move on. So you're, I guess as long as they learn and be better people in the future, that's all that matters.
Yeah, you can't really do about anything that they have done in the past. It's the past. So have to move on. You cannot just keep focusing on that.
Yeah. Some pre-games. Oh, for Arsenal, Unai Emery has said that their transfer business is done, right? They have not
transfer business is done unless there is a big opportunity.
Everyone says that.
Yeah.
There's a big opportunity.
Yeah, I think we can talking add about one winger. We don't have like a wide player or a good wide player in the squad. So if we need to make any addition, I would be happy if we add one winger. Right now, I think Mkhitaryan is the only wide player we have.
Hmm. Aubameyang can play wide also, and then Lacazette can be the striker. Talking about big opportunities, some pre-season games. I don't know what the point of these games were, but Arsenal managed to beat one of the teams 8-0.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I saw Everton played against another team, which is a 7th division team in Austrian league, I think. They won 22-0.
22-0. I didn't know about that. Okay.
And the manager of so I saw the highlights, and after 18th or 15th goal, the players just gave up, and then the manager came out of one of the players from the other team,
mm-hmm.
the Austrian team, said, "It's not like we didn't want to play; just we could not. We didn't have the quality to last this long, as much as the Everton players did." Unless they are playing a different soccer game where the minutes are not 90 minutes long, matches are not 90, I don't think that's a valid excuse.
Yeah, maybe they didn't have that energy to keep chasing these high-quality players.
Yeah, that was the... But he didn't say that.
Yeah.
And also, I don't understand the point of playing this sort of a game. I don't think they are getting any exercise. This sort... If
it's that one-sided...
Yeah,
but it's still a preseason. I think I don't know how they decide on where the team plays. Maybe they have a better schedule, or maybe the only certain teams that they can play against.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, but yeah, if I were the club's manager, you would actually pick teams that you can beat, but at least get some close game out of it. But yeah, beating a lowly team by 8-0 or 20-0, you can't really read too much from that game.
And I think Fabinho and Naby Keita also played a few games for Liverpool. Klopp seems to be happy with Keita, but thinks Fabinho will take more time to adjust. I think the last friendly game they played was a goalless draw against FC Bury. FC Bury is a name that I'll remember because Baichung Bhutia played for that club.
Oh.
He was the first Indian player to play for a English football team. I think he only played a few, one or two games maybe. Or he signed for them but didn't get to play because of work visa or something. But I remember that. Any other transfer business? I think Sari said he wanted 2 or 3 more players. Let's see if...
Okay.
Because I just read we have entered the race for Milinkovic-Savic.
Wow. Okay.
There are a few clubs looking at him. He was the OP player on FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yeah, everyone knows about him. Whoever yeah. plays FIFA should know about him.
Yeah.
I think West Ham is signing a lot of players.
Oh, Felipe Anderson.
Felipe Anderson.
Yeah, I know. I remember two or 4 years ago, he was a target of big clubs, yeah. like top four clubs or five clubs. But now he'll be playing for West Ham. I'm not saying in terms of history, West Ham are also a good club, but yeah, big clubs, you know what I mean. Don't get. I look forward to everyone's letters.
Yeah, Daley Blind is out of Manchester United. Oh. He's going to Ajax.
Okay, big surprise.
And yeah, I think like from the Premier League, there are like Leicester City also signed someone after Mahrez left.
Oh, they signed?
Yeah, I think so. I remember seeing someone. I
think they would have some problems with the creativity now.
Yeah, because Mahrez was a big player for them. And yeah. to lose him, I think they'll need to definitely make some signings in this window.
Yeah. Oh, talking about Everton, I am excited to see Marco Silva. His stint at Watford didn't turn out the way I thought it would, but he's still a good manager. And everyone knows that, I think. So yeah. He'll definitely bring a different style of football to Everton than Sam Allardyce mm-hmm. did. Yeah. So who did Leicester sign? Did they sign him in place of Mahrez so to be that creative player? Or
no, this Madison from Norwich City, 22 million.
Oh, okay.
And Johnny Evans from West Brom.
Okay. They have two good defenders now, Maguire and Evans. Maguire, after that World Cup performance, has... I think his confidence would be really high.
His stock is high now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see like these smaller kind of clubs making that big of signing. Shaqiri completed the move to Liverpool.
Right. Oh, City also got rid of one of their central midfielders. Oh, no. Yeah, they are looking at someone else because Jorginho.
Out of there. Yeah.
No, I really want to see how his name is
pronounced.
Jorginho. Can you pronounce?
Pronouncenames.com.
Is that a thing? Okay.
Jorginho.
Okay.
So, yeah, they wanted to sign Kovacic, but I don't think I just read they are not willing to pay £80 million that Real Madrid are asking for him. Mm-hmm. Now also, Real Madrid now have a new manager, Lopet Gui.
Yeah, after doing all that saga with Spain.
Yeah.
Some say that also affected Spain, which is true.
But yeah.
Now he'll start a new career at Real Madrid, and I think they will also need some signing. We just need to see like who that is. I think Hazard is rumored. Mbappe is rumored for Real Madrid.
I hope Hazard
as well.
Doesn't leave. Yeah.
Who has there been in the talks with lots of big players? I think Neymar was also linked with Real Madrid, although they tweeted that they are not interested in Neymar, and he's currently a PSG player and will remain to do so.
I hope Hazard doesn't leave. I know we'll get lots of money for him, but it's the same like Mahrez at Leicester. Mm-hmm. He's the player who we look for to create chances.
Yeah.
And I think he can do much even better with Sarri because of the style of football that Sarri plays.
Yeah, I mean, he has played really nice attacking football. Because whenever we saw Napoli results,
like we saw how Insignia played. On the wings.
Right. They score a lot of goals and concede a lot of goals too. So it'll be interesting to watch that kind of football.
No, I don't want to concede lots of goals. I want to score lots of goals.
Okay.
I hope he doesn't leave. I'm more interested in Hazard not leaving than Courtois leaving. Courtois has been flirting with this leaving idea for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And after the World Cup, he had some comments saying his value has increased.
who is asking for, which is his right, I guess. Oh, the surprise so far also is Seri, Jean-Michel Seri moving to Fulham.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. Yeah.
They have good players also. They have Ryan Sessegnon and Seri also in the midfield now. Players. I'm excited to see Sessegnon in the Premier League also.
Yeah.
He seems to have, he could have a career like Mbappe maybe if he continues to have a level head, which he seems to have right now. Any other thing? So far, not, that's the only news.
Yeah,
I
we'll
have.
See now. I think the World Cup is over and
yeah, we'll see more.
We'll get back to the business of transfers and we'll see hopefully more transfers in the coming few days.
Oh, Usain Bolt is signing for Australian League Club.
Oh, wow.
So, I guess you can make a career in different sport as well. There are a few players actually who played in World... I don't know if you know, I read this last few months ago. I don't remember their names, but there were some players who played both in the Cricket World Cup and the Soccer World Cup as well.
Oh, wow.
For Viv Richards. He didn't play, but I think he was in the team for one of the...
Nice.
For, I don't know where he... I think he's from Trinidad and Tobago. So he did qualify for... the World Cup. Antigua. He is from Antigua. Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, that's certainly amazing to represent the country in two different sports at World Cup.
And Viv Richards is one of the cricket legends.
Like one of the best. In his era, he was considered to be one of the best cricketer.
That is all then. Right?
Yeah. That's all. We'll see. Season
like
is getting closer now for the beginning.
Yeah. And, you know, I would like to say thanks to Conte for having a really good two seasons, no matter the outside the pitch news and controversies, where he had a good 2 years, short 2 year stint. He won the trophy, a trophy in both the seasons. So good job. And that's all. Please, as usual, don't forget to like us on Twitter. No, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And listen to us with your ears on iTunes, Google Podcast, and all the other platforms.
All right, guys.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.